This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Get back to the NFL stuff in just a moment. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We got college football that we've got to address, Pearl. And, you know, we're all very curious here about what the future of the sport is going to look like. We know that after next season, it's going to be expanding, the college football playoff, 14 teams, 16, all these automatic qualifiers. But we'd like to play some sound for you from Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule, who is on Urban Meyer's podcast, The Triple Option. Sometimes I can't believe this stuff is coming out of my mouth.
Wait, there's an Urban Meyer podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
That's amazing.
Why not?
He should be a guest on a podcast. He should be hosting a podcast. Anyway,
I think
ahead.
He does both. He hosts a pod. And Matt Rhule is explaining to Urban Meyer why Big Ten teams, like one that he coaches, Nebraska, have no incentive to play tough non-conference games.
Why in the world would a Big Ten team who's already playing 9 conference games, why would you ever play one of those games? Like, what? Like you look at a lot of teams, like there's, and I love the, it's not anti-SEC, but like there's some SEC teams that last year only played 3 away games in another team's stadium. 3. We're in a league where some years you have 5 home Big Ten games. Some year you have 5 road. You have to go on the road 5 times in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we have more sound for you, but let's just take that soundbite for a second, Pearl, and it's something that you've been saying and I've been saying, which is it feels like now the college football season basically comes down to who's on your schedule this year.
Yep.
And
yep.
Some years it's going to be really jacked up and difficult, and you're going to have all these night games and away games and really, really hard. And some years, I'm not going to say you're going to cruise by or skate by, but some years you're going to get an Indiana schedule like last year.
Yeah.
And I know they played Ohio State, but beyond that, it was, you know, it was some easy dubs for Indiana. And then they got to the college football playoff game and they got smoked. So it's like all about the schedule and not even really so much about the talent on your team. Like, that's not what we want in college football, is it?
No, it's not good. As you expand the playoffs, you would think that, and this is maybe not what you want, you would want to go to a more NFL-like alternating schedule to make it more even across the board. Like, remember,
and even the NFL's not perfect, but
it's not perfect, yeah, but it's closer, it's because closer. They have a system. Remember a few years ago, the 60-team college football system, the, you know, basically take the Big 5 conferences, make it a 60-team conference, and then part of the reason that would be cool is because you'd have a uniform schedule and everybody would play each other, and you wouldn't have a third week of September when the only ranked matchup is like 22 versus 25. Now, Matt Rhule's exactly right. You're making coaches avoid any good early season games, and you're creating this imbalanced field. I said this earlier in the week.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of blowouts. If they expand to 14 or 16 and do all these automatic bids, you're going to have like 60-7 games in the first round of the playoffs. I think that they need a lot more evenness here, because especially scheduling, and Matt Rhule's exactly right.
So more from Matt Rhule again on Urban Meyer's pod. He said that the College Football Committee, I mean, it's probably a good podcast. I don't know. he said they only care about what you do late in the year, and they don't even actually care about these early season wins. So again, why would you schedule anyone tough?
They proved to us this year when they did all the seeding and all that stuff that early season wins didn't mean a thing. That really it was, at the end of the day, what you look like in the last month of the season.
And then he goes on to say, he goes, and to be honest, it's what your offense looks like in the last month of the season. And because this is such a beauty pageant, and it's about, you know, and it could be heading more towards that way. I don't know. Depends on these automatic bids. But it is, because it's a committee, you know, they may get wowed by great offenses or whatever. And that's all that matters, is the last month of the season. And this is, I think, the fear that a lot of people have with college football, which is you are taking the one sport where the regular season actually really mattered. Like, really mattered. Even in the NFL right now, the first month of the season is basically extended training camp. Look at the Rams. They started 1-4, and yeah, they won the division.
Yeah, I know, but I would go with that. Look at the Ravens, lost an early game to the
Raiders.
The Raiders, and it screwed up everything.
Well, they lost a few more games after that, but yeah. This is the thing. This is the big fear for college football, or this is maybe the big opportunity that they blew, that you didn't realize how good you had it until it's gone, which is your regular season meant so much. And every move you've made over the last 5 years has devalued the regular season in such a big way.
Right, but the sport has grown exponentially. Last year was the best season they ever had. So playoff expansion has been not just a hit, it's been a grand slam home run. So
you're counting money as the thing.
No, buzz, anything, popularity of the sport.
You keep getting these blowouts. Do you think that, listen, I know we love sports, yeah, we're not walking away from it, but you change your entire postseason, and if it is all these lopsided... Yeah. Affairs. I don't know.
I would say the 12-team playoff has made the sport 40% better. Yeah, I think fans will love it. I mean, there's no way. Yes, the fear is that you start growing and growing and growing. You become college basketball. I understand what you're saying, but just because like an Alabama LSU game doesn't mean the title's on the line in October. Overall, would you argue the sport is as healthy as it's ever been?
Well, again, money coming in, it's the healthiest. But here's the thing, though. Up until the college football playoff started, people didn't opt out of bowl games. And I'm not saying that the bowl system was perfect. I'm not. But up until that 4-team college football playoff, when you put a different trophy on the line, then all of a sudden people said, well, if I'm not part of the 4-team, then why should I ever go to the whatever bowl, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying I don't want to disrespect anybody. I'm not saying the Pinstripe Bowl or the ReliaQuest. I'm talking about Fiesta, Orange, Sugar, Rose, like... We didn't have people opting out of those up until this 4-team playoff. Like, there was a postseason that was exciting and fun. And then it got a little too big and too many bowl games. But, you know, could we have, like, without the 4-team playoff, could the sport have gone in any other different direction that could have kept some of the integrity of the regular season still matters every single week?
Well, I mean, again, you're only at, 12 teams now, maybe 14 or 16. It still does matter. It's still really important, much more important than a college basketball where you have 68 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And even NFL, for example, has 14 teams out of 32.
Mm-hmm.
So 45, where only if you have 12 teams out of 100 or whatever is in Division One, it's still very hard to get into that playoff. It's a much lower percentage. Yeah, and I don't miss a bowl. Who cares about the bowl games? I'm sorry. The Pinstripe Bowl hasn't been relevant in 25 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not those.
I'm saying there were
other bowl games that used to be exciting that weren't for a title.
Right.
The bad boy mowers.
I just think the playoffs are more exciting. Because
the Pop-Tarts Bowl is not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Even, I think right now in 2025, if you had a Sugar Bowl where neither team could get to the title, it wouldn't feel exciting. I think the playoffs are a much better system.
855-212-4227. So... That's going to be the issue, Matt Rule's issue. Yeah. You actually got a little news about Nebraska.
Well, yeah, why is Matt Rule commenting on this? He's never even sniffed a college football playoff. He said, it sounded like in that quote, it's like, listen, I've been there, and I love Matt Rule, but the closest he's ever come was 2019 when Baylor was 11-2, but he's never had to even think about the committee. I felt that he was like, sounded like, you know, I've dealt with this committee before, and all they care about is offense. He's been like 5-7 in Nebraska. Like, Nebraska has never even been in consideration for the committee.
Yeah, but he can still observe it, can he? He looks at what's going on across college football.
It just sounded like I've been there before kind of quote. It just was a funny quote to me. Like, I mean, if you want to know about the how the college football playoff system works. Don't you ask the Georgia coach, not the Utah State coach?
Wow. Ouch.
I just think like it's just funny that Matt Rhule even has an opinion on college football playoff. I would have answered if I was Matt. I'd be like, well, you know, we aspire to be there someday. The way he sounded, like, it almost sounded like he had sour grapes about the way they judge this. And like, I'm like, you haven't really been there yet.
So it's funny, right before he gives this answer, EJ knows what I'm talking about. So the full quote, so he goes, you know, Urban, or maybe he called him coach. You know, coach, I've been fired now. I've coached in four places, he goes, and I've been fired. So I don't really, I'm just going to let it fly. Like, I don't care. I'm not going to hold in anymore what I really think. And I disagree with that. I think that even if you haven't been to the college football playoff, you see the sport. He's coaching in the first or second best league in the sport. I think he absolutely can see the trends. You don't have to have been playing in the college football playoff to understand that they're only looking at the last month of the season and how your offense is playing.
Right, but usually people complain about the committee of somebody who got screwed over by the committee. Florida State. If the Florida State coach said that, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I get where he's coming from. I just thought it's funny because Matt Rhule hasn't gotten there yet, although he will get there in the next few years, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, tell us what this personal connection is.
So a friend of mine who is the director of pro personnel for the Patriots, Patrick Stewart, just left the Pats from Indianapolis and took the GM job at Nebraska, and I'm so psyched for Pat. He's a great dude, and he's a brilliant football mind, and he's going to kill it. He's known Rhule for a long time. They were at Temple together.
Amazing. Are we all Nebraska fans now?
Also Oklahoma fans, because I love Jim Nagy, former Senior Bowl director, who just took the Oklahoma GM job. Luckily, they don't play each other anymore.
Yeah, conference realignment means the rivalry is dead, so you're good.
But there's still like a little bit of Nebraska-Oklahoma pride.
A lot of recruiting battles, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't think you could be a Sooner fan and a Cornhusker fan.
No, that doesn't sound right. But here's the thing. I think these college GM jobs are looking kind of good, because in the NFL, you only get 32 of them. And by the way, you've got an owner who can just come in off the yacht on draft day and blow up all the months and work that you've done or something like that. Or maybe you got to take input from the owner's kid on a Madden rating or some BS.
This might be the new suite. Like sweet sports deal. Job, right? Like we talked about, like being the backup quarterback and other deals. You know, being an NBA coach or a GM for like a team that's rebuilding, infinity. This is another good one, because what college GM has been fired yet?
I don't know.
I can't think of anyone.
I don't even know if you would get that as like a. I bet that could very quietly go away.
Right,
too.
It wouldn't even be a headline. No one would even know if you got fired.
Yeah, exactly. No, this could be it. Now, my question for Jim Nagy. So, Jim, friend of the show. Is as you said, the new GM of Oklahoma Sooners football, which is really cool. But so he's not going to be at the Senior Bowl anymore, or he can
no,
do both?
Definitely not.
That's sad. He's awesome.
He's really good.
I mean, there's sort of been like it was Phil Savage before him, and it was somebody before Savage. I think Jim wants to give that up to somebody else to help build it. But the GM job, they'll get fired for sure. Like, you know, just
no,
be
but
like
it's
a
not
going to
be as embarrassing as like in the NFL. I think where it's a little more high profile.
Well. Listen, they all got fired in Carolina, and there was that was embarrassing, but it turned out that was more about Carolina than Matt Rhule and Pat Stewart. And I'm curious, too, like if for Oklahoma, if Venables gets fired, what does that mean for Jim? I don't know how that works.
I don't know. Is it like, the GM, do they get to stay and maybe help pick the next coach?
Exactly. That's why I'm like, this is an
Are you
awesome
sure
job,
though?
Potentially.
Sweet.
I don't know. I'm asking questions.
Yeah. I think if Brent Venables gets fired next year, is Jim back on the market?
I don't know. I mean, Oklahoma beat Alabama. Maybe they're a rocket ship.
I mean, athletic directors get to stay when coaches get fired. Why wouldn't the GM, in theory?
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be more like the coach. Hmm. The athletic director doesn't pick players.
No, but they are involved with the football operations and like how things work.
And they definitely pick the coach.
Yeah, and they definitely pick the coach. So there's that.
Yeah, ADs, you bring up a good point. Like, they're Teflon. Like nobody
talk
goes
about
after
good,
that.
Talk about good jobs in sports.
That's a Mount Rushmore great job.
The only thing is if you have a scandal, though, then all of a sudden it's like, now it's a really bad job.
Like Miami, like one of the biggest things when they got Chris Ball was they hired the Clemson athletic director, and it was seen as this massive coup. And I'm like, why? I guess Clemson's football has been good, but like, what'd that guy do? Like, I know Dabo.
I think Dabo did it.
He got good players. He got Taj Boyd and Deshaun Watson, and you know DeAndre, Hopkins. Like, what did this guy do?
Oh, I don't know. Like, he turned Clemson into a national title winner.
Yeah, Dabo did.
Well, I know. I credit Dabo for
that.
Right?
No, I credit him too because they turned that. You've been to Clemson, right? It's like it's this little tiny thing in the middle of nowhere, right. And he built this gorgeous palace. So somebody besides Dabo did something smart there because they made that place really nice. They were never a powerhouse.
No,
I could see, and their facilities are crazy. So I don't know.
I hope he's the godsend that turns around Miami football. It was just funny because that was the big thing. It was like, not only is Cristobal coming, we got this guy from Clemson who's the AD. I'm like, okay.
Did you guys see, by the way, speaking of, now we're just doing some college football news here, from Matt Rhule talking to Urban Meyer on his podcast about no Big Ten team's ever going to schedule an interesting non-conference opponent ever again. So there you go. So Andrew Luck is the GM for Stanford football.
And
their athletic director just resigned. So I'm like, is Andrew Luck going to step into that role also? Anyway.
They have some problems. I know they have a lot of legal problems.
Oh, do they?
Stanford's a disaster behind the scenes.
Oh, I didn't know that. What's going on?
Stanford is... it's such a long, complicated story that goes back to a frat party where somebody died from alcohol overdose.
And
It's become like a gigantic, unless I miss it and it's settled. Like the school and the students have been stewing each other on and off for years. There's all sorts of problems at Stanford.
Oh, gosh. I had no idea. Yeah. I didn't know I was walking into such
a serious story. I think it was a soccer player.
Serious
was involved.
Story.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Man, well.
But the other thing, too, if House versus NCAA, this new court settlement comes through, and what if the college teams have a salary cap like the NFL, then all of a sudden my friend Pat has a salary cap, and he's like a real GM. It's like an NFL GM version.
No, but think about it. That $20 million, which they're saying is going to be, that's not just for the football team. Does everyone know that? That's for the athletic department.
Well, right. How much of it goes to the football team?
That's going to be to the discretion, I think, of the collective, the athletic director, maybe the GM. So, like, I'm sure, listen, answer lots of it, right? Lots of it's probably going to go to the football program. But think about it. The football program also probably has a better shot to get NIL on top of that.
Well, that's what I was wondering. If they have, like, say they can slot $3 million for their quarterback under this $20 million, can they get another $8 million from a booster to get
I think
a quarterback?
Local car dealership or whatever. I mean, but... So I think the $20 million is actually for the whole athletic department. So if you're somebody that has a great baseball program or also is known for, you know, obviously basketball, I don't have to go to basketball, say your women's team's really good. Say you've got this all-time swim team. I don't know. Everyone needs a piece of the pie.
There's only two real generators, two and a half. There's football and basketball. And now women's basketball, otherwise, and then a little women's volleyball and softball. But generally, it's all football is where the money is. That's what builds the fancy buildings.
No doubt. 855-212-4227. Are you encouraged by the future of college football? The regular season, guys, is just it's like dust. It's like go in between our fingertips.
I totally disagree. You think that college football regular season has already become irrelevant? Like you're already done with it? You're not even going to give this time to advance?
I don't love it. 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think. Got a lot more to do, including updating you on a story we brought you a few days ago. We'll do that next.
Remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
No school this small has ever been to the state final. We lost Gene Hackman, great actor, 95 years old. Was also a coach in The Replacements, by the way. Has a couple sports movies under his belt. One of the greatest American actors of all time. I don't think there's any doubt. I think I'm the only like massive Hoosiers guy here. Like me and my friends used to watch that before basketball games. Like it is to me the ultimate fire up basketball movie, and he was great in that.
So many, I mean, a multi-time Oscar winner, Gene Hackman. I had no idea he was 95. I didn't know that he was that old, but it's so sad because the circumstances now seem a little strange. And, you know, we're going to find about more and more about it. But Gene Hackman is 95, was found alongside his wife, Betsy Arakawa, who's a world-renowned pianist. And also, their dog was also dead. Now, this happened in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the authorities there are saying no foul play. No foul play. That a man, his wife...
Who's 63, by the way.
Yeah, she's
old.
Young. And the dog. The dog is the thing that's throwing me off here. And so I was talking about this actually with Boomer Esiason before the show. He put out like a carbon monoxide type thing. Like, did something happen where they accidentally were poisoned because the dog dying along with two humans just and no foul play, they're saying, is very odd.
It's got to be. I haven't heard of any other theory. I think everyone's running with that, too. Like, what other possibility is there?
The only guy I wasn't sure about, because that was my first thought, too, when I saw that the dog had died, too. Because first I saw him and his wife, and I thought, is this a weird, like, old people deciding maybe they wanted to go out together
somehow?
She's
not that old, though.
No, I know. The last time I saw him, it was a picture of him for the first time in a while that was public. And people were like, oh, my God, he looks... Yeah, at a gas station.
Yeah.
And he looked very old and
he's 95.
Very frail. But I think it caught people off guard. So I thought maybe his wife was a similar age, and maybe this was a whatever they decided to do together.
Sure.
But then the dog makes it seem like it's something else. But I don't know, like, if it's carbon monoxide, does that, like, run out? Or wouldn't people who have gone in to found them eventually felt something weird, too? Or, like, does it burn off, the monoxide coming out of wherever it's coming out of?
I think first responders would probably be aware of that, because that does happen.
Like, well, I mean, isn't
tragically.
Isn't there a period of, like, exposure that becomes lethal? Like, I think when it comes to carbon monoxide, I mean, if you're in the room for 5 minutes and you see these, you know, deceased people there, you probably start to quickly realize maybe it's carbon monoxide. Let's go get some equipment.
Yeah, open the doors. Yeah, because you're right, Manny. I remember there was a gas leak. An elderly woman, when I was living in an apartment with my husband, she couldn't smell the gas leak. And if she had just stayed in there, not only would the entire building had probably exploded, but she would have, because she was very elderly. I don't know how often she left the house. Was it once a day? Was it more like once every couple days? And that could have gotten really tragic. Maybe they just hadn't gone out in a while and got exposed to it for over a long period of time.
I think Michael Kay, I think, has a story where he went to sleep and just happened to open his window and survived a carbon monoxide leak in his apartment.
Yeah. That is so scary.
Yeah.
We have alarms, but I actually don't know if they're updated. Do you guys have carbon monoxide alarms?
Yeah. And I walk around every once in a while, definitely not as much as they recommend, and just hit all the all the test buttons on everything.
I should.
So this is he obviously lives an incredible life, but you never want it to be cut short off of something that's not, of just natural causes. But if we're talking about Gene Hackman's filmography, which EJ played the famous speech from Hoosiers, if we're just going favorite Gene Hackman's, Royal Tenenbaums to me. I thought he was so good in that movie. And I love the movie The Firm. You guys big into
The Firm?
Yeah,
right.
Well, and I didn't read the book.
No, that was me just jogging my memory. That's Tom Cruise.
No, Tom Cruise, great in The Firm. And Gene Hackman is excellent in that movie. Now, these are not the movies he won the Oscars for. He won the Oscars for The French Connection, and he won the Oscar for Unforgiven. I get it. I'm sure those movies.
We're definitely the only show in America. It's like Gene Hackman was also in The Firm. Literally, that is the only time that has been uttered in America.
Well, don't you wonder sometimes when these guys get super famous, like you can celebrate the life of Gene Hackman. He's been in so many movies. Don't you wonder when people come up to them on the street and you could say 50 films, what's the thing people say the most? Because EJ, you said...
He's Lex Luthor.
He's Lex Luthor, right.
That I could get. The Firm? Come on.
It's a great movie.
Firm doesn't count. I didn't even know he was in it, let alone to say it's one of his best ones.
I have an unbelievably different taste in movies than you, Maggie Gray. I just keep getting back to this. It is stunning. Like, honestly, you're like, oh, man. You were awesome in Welcome to Mooseport. What about The French Connection?
My wife can do this, too, where she knows people from the wrong movie. Like Ray Liotta to her is from Karina.
What?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Okay, but the Royal Tenenbaums.
That's a good one. I'll accept but that
was,
one.
That was on top of it. He was great at that. I mean, for me, I'm afraid to ask this. How many people in this room have not seen Hoosiers?
Oh, thank God Manny said.
Oh, Manny has. There's no way Manny saw Hoosiers.
I thought you might not have seen Hoosiers.
I've talked about Hoosiers on the show.
EJ doesn't like it.
I'm not going to say anything because Gene's dead.
Yeah.
You didn't like Hoosiers?
It's kind of boring. But again, RIP Gene, he's a legend.
Hey, did you know there's a French Connection too?
Yeah.
I didn't see the first French Connection. He was in Young Frankenstein. That was like more of a cameo. Anyway, sad news. 95 years old. I mean, celebrating a life. And obviously his wife also being found deceased. And she was a world-renowned pianist. And then the dog. I mean, Gene's 95 was 95. And we can definitely celebrate his life. But this does also feel like a tragedy, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll get more details on that. That is really sad. I think I know why you don't like Hoosiers, by the way, EJ.
Because
no one flies or has laser eyes or
probably also too. Like Gene Hackman's all about
radioactive spider.
None of them are red and muscles.
No, it's a sports reason. It's a basketball reason because, you know, Gene Hackman, the coach, was all about ball movement, and you like Carmelo, like, you know, take 16 out of 24 seconds of the shot.
That's definitely why.
It's not enough volume.
You're not like a ball mover guy. You're more like
Carmelo Anthony, the Atlanta Hawk.
Yeah. Dump it into low post to Jalen Brunson, just dribble, 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 shoot. That's your style. Hoosiers was not for you.
Well, rest in peace to Gene Hackman, his wife, and the dog. Ah, can't get past that. Bogues, what's going on today?
So the chain gang isn't going away, but is apparently getting some help. The NFL will use a virtual spotting system next season for first downs. Officials will still spot the ball, but then the system will immediately tell them if it is a first down. Apparently the league was using this in the background this past season. The NFL also confirming it is debating changing the regular season overtime setup, because the team that wins the coin toss is still getting too big of an advantage. They could use the postseason structure where each team gets the ball no matter what, or they could extend OT from 10 to 15 minutes, or they could do something completely else. As we've been discussing all morning, Penn State stud Abdul Carter has a stress reaction in his right foot. Agent Drew Rosenhaus says they have two options: rehab and try to show scouts the foot is fine at Penn State's pro day next month, or have preemptive surgery now and be off the field for 2 months. The last time we saw the Thunder, they were blowing that 24-point fourth quarter lead on the T-Wolves. Last night in Brooklyn, they were down 18 in the first half to the lowly Nets.
Back on the Nets. Wallace again picks the pocket at midcourt of Rothward and takes it down the lane and thunders down a big two-hand tomahawk dunk. Oh, Kaysen, don't be so mean. Thunder 109, the Nets 103, timeout, Brooklyn.
That's Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. OKC on an 18-0 fourth quarter run to win 129-121. Chet Holmgren, 22 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. The Pistons dumped the Celtics 117-97 for an 8-game win streak. The Rockets down the Spurs 118-106. And the Knicks beat the Sixers 110-105 after leading by 14 in the third, then trailing by 4 in the fourth. The Philly skid is now 9 games.
We are the New York Knicks.
But on the bright side, Paul George finally getting serious about this season.
About time.
Gonna put a pause on the podcast. The Paul George podcast? Paul P?
No. Podcast P, Maggie. How do you not remember the name?
I know. My bad. I was too busy listening to the Urban Meyer podcast, apparently.
And with
the
Paul
George podcast on the back burner.
The visual of the gears turning right there as you try to remember Paul George's podcast name. Good Lord.
And inside my brain was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Anyway, so Pearl, finally, they're going to start getting serious now, these 76ers. No podcast, no outside distractions.
I like it.
Season starts today.
Play in or bust.
I'm so glad that they're terrible right now. This is so much better than what I'd much rather this team than the team that you knew was going to lose in 6 games in the first round. Right? This is a better situation, being awful.
Well, kind of, but the Embiid situation makes it a little more concerning.
It's finally over.
Yeah, good luck getting rid of him.
Well, yeah, how are you going to get rid of him? His contract is an albatross.
How many more years does he have?
100.
No, it's not that long.
Like, he just signed an extension.
Right, but I think...
This is Daryl Morey we're talking about. If you're even half a star, you're getting $1 billion.
Juan Soto's contract is going to expire before Joel Embiid's.
Jesus Mate will be in the...
He'll be a free agent in 2030.
I thought he just signed a 3-year deal.
But he had 2 years already on his deal.
Oh, it was 3 years on top of the two.
Yes.
And he's getting every penny.
Yeah.
$69 million player option in 2028, 2029. I don't think he's turning that one down.
How many more Super Bowls can the Eagles win to take Pearl off the Sixers beat?
They might win two more Super Bowls before his contract is up.
If they don't ban the tush push, they might be the next dynasty.
Oh, you'd be a little angry if the Eagles weren't winning and the Sixers were doing this.
Dude, I thought Embiid was serious. I thought signing Paul George was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of. I do like Tyrese Maxey.
Well, he's ironically the only one you could probably get some value for, so you should probably trade him away ASAP.
Ooh.
Meh.
And they gave him a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
Well, guys, but the podcast is...
What I found interesting was when Maggie mentioned this yesterday, Maggie said that she'd found this commendable, and Perloff said, this is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever heard.
I mean, they're 20 and 40. Like... Now you're doing it?
I think he's trying to make up for the fact that his wife posted all these racy pics of them during the All-Star break. His team is cratering, and he's out there like, look at, I just did it. I was like, he's got to be
so. What did I miss?
Yeah.
Stand by.
Nora too.
Kinda.
Talk to you in 5 minutes. I got to check it out. So
talk amongst yourselves.
By the way,
her name's Daniela something.
I don't want to see Paul George, but I'm curious.
Well, to be fair to Paul,
what's her podcast called?
That one's only on OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's more of a visual gag. But yeah, no, she put all that stuff on Instagram, and I thought maybe he got a little side embarrassment from that.
No, yeah, it looked, I mean...
You're talking about unserious.
I mean, yeah, it looked like they were taking a vacation. I mean, it was a vacation, but it seemed like, you know, they Cancun a little early. Yeah. Like, there's still a season
drinks
left.
In hand, just like, I guys, mean, it's the All-Star break. Like, you still got to play.
Yeah, and they both looked amazing. I mean, Paul George is ripped, and he's a good-looking guy, and then his wife is a very beautiful woman. So they looked like they were having way too much fun, considering the torture that the Sixers season has been. I think that was the issue.
It basically looked like a picture that was like, who cares? I'm rich.
Exactly.
Like, everything's going to be all right. I'm rich. It kind of felt like that kind of post.
Keep doing you, Paul.
This is the first time you're seeing these photos?
Yeah, and I found one that should not be on the internet, which is saying a lot.
Wait, I didn't find that one.
Can you DM that to me?
It's a race now.
Can you DM it to me, please?
I told you. I said.
And Perloff's unimpressed.
There's a lot of gold necklaces and watches in these pictures, too.
Big fan.
I mean, the thing is, they're 20 and 38 right now. If they play the lottery... There's a lot of buzz in Philly. There is some excitement that Cooper DeJean will be the second most popular Cooper coming up pretty soon.
The second most exciting white, you're saying?
Yeah, basically. there's a lot of...
Is that Reed Blankenship?
Philly's a town that has a Rocky statue and no Joe Frazier statue. The thought of having a white NBA star is getting a lot of people excited.
Move over the process. Here come the exciting whites of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's Cooper flag chatter for sure.
I mean, you guys can't get rewarded for that. You guys, you know, I think that the NBA lottery is 100% rigged. How could you can't reward the 76ers? It's been a mess over there.
What are you talking about? How do you think this system works? Do you think you get rewarded for being good in the NBA? How do you think your Cavs got your guy LeBron? Because they were awesome for so many years?
No, I think they like the hometown kid resurrecting a wayward program.
But the difference between us is I'm super into Dylan Harper too as a Sixer. That would be sick. Sixers.
That backcourt would be crazy. Harper and Maxey.
Yeah. No, this is all good.
Yeah.
I don't
trust NBA. I don't trust guys who go to college and can't make the NCAA tournament. Like I saw this with Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. And these guys got drafted super high, and they were in college and couldn't make the field of 68.
I don't know. Anthony Edwards is pretty good.
He went to Georgia, though.
Yeah, but
Rutgers.
What's Rutgers?
They got two guys who are going to get drafted in the top five.
Rutgers,
it's not
Duke,
just one.
North Carolina.
They've got two.
I know.
And Anthony Edwards, I think he's the exception.
I don't know. But, like, how about all the guys who went to Kentucky and lost in the first round? It's just awesome.
At least they made the freaking tournament.
Yeah, because they had four other NBA players around them. I don't know. It doesn't seem like college success is a real.
But Dylan Harper is Ace Bailey. They got two out of five guys who are going to take top five in the NBA, and these two, they can't make a field of 68.
Maggie, they got to play five guys on the court. There's only so much they could do.
Harper's had some health issues, too.
I find this crazy. They almost made the tournament when there was only one Harper there a couple years ago.
I mean, who's actually
won? They did make the tournament with Harper.
And it was the COVID year, wasn't it?
Who has actually been good in the NCAA tournament and been good in the pros? I'd rather take the guy who's
Mello? Carmelo Anthony is the poster child of it.
35
How about
years ago
Anthony
now.
Davis? Carl Anthony Towns? I mean, I could keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay. How about, what's his face from Miami, went to UCLA?
Oh, yeah, Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez was fantastic in the tournament.
How about, all right, but I mean, and he's a good NBA player, but he's Jaime Jaquez.
What about Jaime Jaquez?
Can I interest you in a little Wally Zerbiak for exciting whites?
You can't.
I'm looking
How about Steph Curry, anybody? Steph Curry got Davidson through multiple rounds of the NCAA tournament. Didn't anyone say, well, it was only Steph Curry?
I'm looking at the leading scorers in the NBA. Shai Gilgeous, tournament bus. Giannis, no tournament. Jokic, no tournament. Anthony Edwards didn't make the tournament. Maxi, tournament bust.
I wonder why
that
Giannis
did nothing.
And Jokic didn't go into the tournament.
What did KD's Texas Longhorns do in the tournament? I don't even remember.
I believe they were first-round exit. I believe.
Yeah, Tatum was disappointment. Booker, disappointment. Brunson was
Booker,
good.
They went to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Oh, that team?
Yeah. Yes. No. They had six guys drafted.
Yeah, that team was ridiculous. They lost to Wisconsin.
Oof. Generally, though, Cade Cunningham, he didn't do anything.
Cade was terrible.
I'm talking about people who don't make the tournament. Okay.
Did Cade make the tournament?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Right. I picked that team and they got killed.
Yeah, that team wasn't that great. I don't know. I mean, I get it. I just feel like there's holes in this. Damian Lillard didn't make the tournament.
Ja Morant.
He was great in the tournament.
And didn't have this whole cast of characters. And we're talking about top picks here. I'm not talking about second round or...
Right, but Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper would be great in the tournament if the rest of Rutgers got them there.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it, too, is, like, if they just went to a different school, maybe they are in a tournament. Like, they kind of took a risk going to Rutgers.
Yeah.
Like they almost deserve credit for that.
Fair. No, they could have gone somewhere else, but I just told you, Ja Morant and Steph Curry took Davidson and, Murray State?
But Steph Curry won the SoCon with Davidson, and a guy I went to high school with. If he was in the Big Ten, they would have finished last. Like, they would have been worse than this Rutgers team. Like, he got in out of the SoCon, then went nuts, but they survived the SoCon because they were in the SoCon.
Okay, but here's my question. Like, it's not like the Big Ten this year. You can't beat Michigan. I just watched Michigan State beat Maryland on a buzzer beater. The final score was 58-56. Auburn's not in this league, you know? The SEC is the really deep the deep teams in the better conference. The Big Ten, this is winnable. This is at least make the tournamentable.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough. I don't know about that.
The Big Ten is tough, but you have two top five picks on your team.
But we know, Maggie, though, right now college basketball is so old now. Like, these teams are putting out 24-year-olds and 23-year-olds, and it's if you only have two good 18-year-olds, it's hard to win. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just been what college basketball has been recently.
Like, I actually saw a tweet this morning about this, that of the top 10 teams, only Duke has multiple freshmen playing starters minutes. Everybody else has zero or one.
That's why John Shire is having, I think, a historic season. Like, I don't know. People aren't talking about it.
Well, because Flagg has been on. He's leading in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. Like, he's everything. And he just turned 18.
Yeah,
They're definitely disappointing in the tournament, though. I guarantee that team is going to come up short.
Duke?
Yeah, because they always have. They've been, like, the last several years, they've had these great players. And they've
literally
come up
went
short
to the Sweet 16
do
last
they get
year.
To the, do they
Sweet
get to
16,
the...
yeah, I know. That was kind of disappointing. Well, last year.
Really? It was two years after Coach K retired.
Like that. They had Cam Reddish, Zion, and RJ Barrett.
They beat one of the number one seeds in Houston.
So you don't think they make the Final Four?
I got to see their draw, but I have a feeling this team is going to be a letdown. Yeah.
Okay.
You think Cooper Flagg's going to be a letdown? In the
Yeah, because they're young, you know. I like the old teams.
A real quick update from me through Manny from Ian Rappaport. He's now saying, pending Jordan Schultz approval, that Abdul Carter is not going to have surgery for now. He will plan on working out for scouts at Penn State's Pro Day, and they assume he's going to be okay, limited pain to no pain being mentioned with the issue. This is why I guess it kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe he didn't even know he had a problem, which means it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, if he can run a 40 in March, then... It can't be that bad. If he runs a 4.440, then I don't care what his foot issue is. Like, if you could do that, then the foot can't be that bad.
I think you can muster up a lot when the adrenaline and the millions and millions of dollars that are waiting here at the end to get through this draft process, and then you actually have to play football. If the draft was just the end of the line, then fine. But now you got to have your career that you're hoping is fantastic. 855-212-4227. Bogues, thanks for that. Okay, lots more to do, including the biggest, juiciest gossip from the combine. Got it for you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door. Fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff got into a conversation about college hoops, and EJ said he thinks this is what, the most impressive coaching job you've ever seen with John Shire?
In a long time, in several years.
Really?
Yeah, it's just the idea that you're a coach taking on a bunch of freshmen, and they've dominated college basketball. Not like, oh, they're winning these games closely. They're blowing everybody out. Like,
yeah, but they're not in the SEC.
Then they beat Auburn.
Yeah.
Like, they beat the one team that everyone thinks is that team, and they took care of business against them, too.
I think it's also the 2 years after taking over for Coach K. Made the tournament both years, made a little bit more of a run last year in getting to the Sweet 16. And we're seeing now, you know, Hubert Davis for North Carolina, for example, had success right away after taking over for Roy Williams, but now it's been a little bit more of a challenge, and they're a bubble team.
Yeah, in some ways he's doing the impossible twice, because he's winning with freshmen when no one else can, and he's replacing a legend, which everyone says is very difficult to do.
I don't think that's the mainstream narrative at all, because he has the best player in the country. So, like, how can – I think everyone says, like, he's got Cooper Flagg. That, I'm not saying you're wrong, EJ. I'm just saying, like, nobody's talking about John Shire, because they have the generational player.
Let's go to our pal Big Dave is in Kentucky, wants to weigh in on the state of Duke hoops. What's up, Big Dave?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. How you been?
I'm doing well. Bummed up about the news of the great Gene Hackman.
We played a little from his famous speech from Hoosiers, but going through some of the movies that we even forgot that, you know, were so good. Birdcage, yeah. Thank you. Behind Enemy Lines, Crimson Tide. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Crimson Tide is one of my all-time favorites. But I love everything that he did. He was such a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
On to the discussion of college basketball. Please, EJ, keep beating on that Duke drum. Beat louder and louder and louder, because my main man, Andrew McLovin Perloff Jr. III, hit the nail on the head. They have played nobody. I mean, they have played nobody. We beat them back in November. Kansas beat them. Clemson, who we thought was a bad loss for us at the time, actually beat Duke. So by all means, keep propping up that paper tiger, because the softest Charmin schedule that they have played since January will come back to bite them in the rear come tournament time. I'm a firm believer. Let me tell y'all real quick, really cool stat. To tell you how upside down, obviously, that college sports is right now, five of the top top 10 preseason teams in college basketball are not even in the top 25 right now. Three of the top six are not in the top 25 right now. Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga, Baylor, and UNC were all in the top 10 in the preseason. None of them right now are projected. Or none of them are in the top 25 right now. It's just crazy.
Hey, wait, Big Dave, can I tell you something? I was talking to a college basketball analyst the other day, John Fanta, and I asked him what was a realistic expectation for Kentucky, and he said Sweet 16. What do you think?
Probably. We've been banged up all year. We just got Lamont Butler and Jackson Robinson back last night. And did y'all happen to see the end of that game? My main man, Owe Otega.
Yep.
Saved
your behind.
Huh?
Ortega Owe saved your behind is what I said.
Oh, yeah. 28 points, 21 in the second half, I think it was. But
he was playing against his former school.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to argue that's – if we get back – I mean, when we've been healthy, we're still not healthy because Kirk Reese is not coming back. He was our backup point guard. He was kind of a spark plug. Sweet 16, I'm not going to – I mean, who knows? You know, I'm saying, I mean, we've been inconsistent, but we've not had a full team on the floor, and Jackson Robinson played well last night, hit three threes, but he ended up icing his wrist down again on his shooting hand. So, I don't know. We'll see, but it'll be an interesting tournament for sure.
Big Dave, thank you so much. We're inching closer and closer. I think if Mark Pope, first year at Kentucky, we're talking about following legends. I know that, you know, Big Blue Nation had kind of tired of Calipari, but he is a legend. He was there for 17 years, right? So getting to the Sweet 16 after you watch Calipari lose to Oakland, which we found out was in Michigan, I think that you'd be thrilled.
Seen Calipari tank Arkansas, too.
Yeah. Kentucky's 17 in the country. Like, I don't know. It's not an unrealistic expectation. It's kind of, but it is kind of funny that, like, I think you're right, but Kentucky Sweet 16, an accomplishment? It's kind of sad.
Well, I mean, you know, it's, again, the first year of a new coach. So, and as Dave said, they haven't been healthy.
Feels like everyone does like that guy, though. Feels like he's had a good first year, Mark Pope.
Yeah. No, I think it was a good hire. Absolutely. And the Arkansas not making the tournament is obviously, you know, a little schadenfreude, of course. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers, Dr. Rock Positano, and his assistant Kendall, who showed us her foot on our live stream.
I got 8 hours of combine drills ahead of me today. That is all I'm doing.
Sounds like a nice little Thursday. See you tomorrow, everyone.
Dr. Rock Positano after it.
Yeah, he'll need him.
True.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.